2 Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drance, who also covers the team for The Athletic. Canucks Talk, of course, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What's going on, Drance?
Not much, buddy. Looking forward to what? Is this Bo Horvat's third return to the city since the trade? Only the second?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's like their fourth game head-to-head against the Islanders?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we going to beat that drum again?
Apparently. Does it have a lot of juice, like Bo Horvat return? I don't know. It feels like it went so well for the Canucks in the return game last year, right? Like big cathartic victory in overtime.
And then they
stomped
them.
Part of their miracle, or their dream start to the season.
Yep.
And they beat them in Long Island.
And then it was part of their Harlem Globetrotters run through the New York area in January. So, yeah, I mean,
I guess like he was the captain, so there'll always be a little bit of juice, right?
He was top 10 in franchise scoring until Tuesday.
Yes, that's true.
So, look, Horvat's gone. He's played well. I mean, he's played well. The Canucks have appeared to benefit from the trade in terms of the team's fortunes.
I don't keep super close tabs on the New York Islanders fan base and the fan temperature, but every time I do see fans out there talking about Bo Horvat, it's like, he should be captain.
Yeah.
We love this guy.
Can't believe we got him for Beauvillier and Ratu in a first. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is one that anyone really looks back on. And
well, that's the thing, right? It's like, I don't know who's supposed to be the aggrieved party here.
I think Canucks fans are just excited their team is good.
Yeah, it's worked out for the Canucks. I don't, like, the Islanders are the Islanders, but it's not like it's like that trade screwed them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the only take I really disagree with is the people who are like, Bo Horvat was emblematic of this culture that needed to be cast aside, because that I don't really buy. I think that was a larger shift that really didn't have anything to do with him personally. But yeah, I mean, I think it's that more than anything else. I think it's just Canucks fans being excited their team is cool again.
Yeah. And that should make it so much easier to not care about the trade also. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, we made a big trade. It was big at the time. You traded your captain. That's always a big deal. And things have worked out very well since then.
It's not enough for things to work out. Every trade must be a win.
It must. Or just like something, a big conflict.
But I mean, think about how many times people have even been like, was the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade that bad? Was it? It's like, yes. Were we too hard on Jim Benning? No. You know, like, people do try to relitigate wild stuff for some reason. I don't know why, but...
That is true. It is a Canucks game day, as mentioned. Also, at 12:30, our pal Gemma Karsten-Smith from the Canadian Press will join us here on the show. Lots to get into today, so let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, November 14th, starting with the headlines. Canucks, as mentioned, hosting Bo Horvat and the New York Islanders tonight at Rogers Arena. And of course, the other headline, and this is a lineup note as well, but it's worth putting here, is that Dakota Joshua set to make his season debut for the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, after announcing in September that he'd been diagnosed and dealt with testicular cancer over the summer. So big deal from a hockey perspective, big deal from a personal perspective. I'm sure for everybody in that room, just thrilled that their teammate is going to get back on the ice and play a game with them.
Yeah, and opening on the fourth line, Rick Tocchet intimating that he might play 10, 12 minutes. We'll see if Rick Tocchet can actually help himself, right? Depending on how this game goes, especially against an Islanders team, you know, as coached by Patrick Roy, right, that can mix it up, that has some big bodies up and down the lineup. We saw Anders Lee, for example, who's like a giant human being, just single-handedly turned the Islanders game against the Oilers force overtime. So plan is, apparently, for Dakota Joshua to play limited minutes, but look, when you're a player that fits so neatly into Rick Tocchet's template of what he wants big physical wingers to do, we'll see how much he actually plays in practice.
Big guy, soft hands. the Dakota Joshua story.
He does have soft hands. And look, I think they've missed his presence and authority on the ice, without question, for me. I think there have been too many games where Vancouver has struggled to bust up breakouts, generally speaking, and I think Dakota Joshua is, you know, up there with JT Miller, although since he plays center, he doesn't do it as often, right? Like, he's just not as often F1. I think he's the best F1 that the Canucks have in terms of chasing down puck carriers. It's not just the size either, and the fact that if he catches you, he is separating you from the puck. It's the angles, it's the speed, it's the reach, like it's the shortstop things that he's able to do too. So I think that presence alone is huge. This team is so well suited to pouncing on like breakdowns and like setting up shop and doing their heavy shift thing. And so many times last season, those what became 2.5 minutes of really good hockey from the Canucks started with Dakota Joshua hounding a defenseman into a mistake. So that part of this, I think, is going to be that part of his return, that impact, I think, is going to be immediate. We'll see if it takes him a little bit in terms of his timing and on and on. But we've seen what he can do in terms of scoring goals in tight. We've seen what he can do in terms of playing a second line role, the chemistry with Connor Garland. I mean, there's a lot of exciting possibilities that'll sort of open up, I think, once he gets up to speed tonight. Yeah. Really, it's just like good to have him back.
Exactly.
Expectations are low. Ease into the lineup. But obviously a huge add for the club.
Yeah, and given the nature of his absence and given how cautious they've been ramping him back up and getting him to this point, I'm going to give him a fairly significant grace period, right, as he eases back into the lineup. They're talking about, okay, we're going to start him on the fourth minute or fourth lines, build his minutes back up gradually. So, you know, I think that will probably be evident. But once he does get back up to speed, yeah, he was a huge part of this team's identity last year. And you think, you know, you're talking about all the forecheck stuff he does. He was also a big part of their penalty kill last year, right? Like, he helps this team in a ton of different ways. Could he be a power play option at some point for them?
Well, and you'll remember, before he was a penalty kill fixture, I was kind of banging the table saying, I want to see this guy kill penalties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start it now, and I'm going to start it early. I want to see Dakota Joshua net front on power play one. You know, Vancouver's first power play unit hasn't looked good all year.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I just want to see JT Miller taking downhill wrist shots through their biggest bodied forward, who also happens to be a really sick finisher down low. Like, I just want to see it at some point. So I'm going to start banging that drum, even though obviously they have to manage his minutes. I'm not expecting to see it shortly, what have you. I think Dakota Joshua eventually needs to find his way onto the net front with Vancouver's best players, because I think they'll be able to do a ton of damage working around him and working through him.
Yeah, and again, just to reiterate, just great to see that Dakota Joshua is at this point and ready to make his season debut for the Canucks tonight against the Islanders. Looking at this matchup, I mean, I kind of glibly said it earlier, right? The Islanders are the Islanders, and they are exactly NHL 500 coming into this game. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries right now, so no Matt Barzal in the lineup, no Anthony Duclair.
NHL 500. They've won 6 of 16 games.
They're NHL 500.
I know, but it's an offense against math. NHL 500.
Well, that's why I qualified it with NHL.
I know, but just say fake 500. Like NHL 500, like the NHL, where common sense and reasonable standards are abandoned in favor of absolute nonsense. Stop it.
Yeah, that's the NHL.
No. I'm not.
That's exactly what they do.
You're moving the Overton window here. I'm not playing this game. The Islanders are not close to 500. They've won 6 of 16 games. Good God.
They're NHL 500.
They are not. They have a 500-point percentage. If you want to say they have a 500-point
percentage.
I'm sorry. I'm not brucking this, and you know that I'm just going to keep turning up the heat, and you're going to be like, why have I done this? So I think it's just time to move on.
In the artificial fake world of the NHL, they're 500.
No, 500-point percentage. They're still not 500. The NHL can't make it so. The NHL can say you're 500-point percentage because we dole out points to losing teams without actually rewarding regulation winners for some reason. But you can't say they're NHL 5. They're not 500. They have a 500-point percentage.
They have a 500-point percentage.
Thank you. The Canucks are 2 games above 500, by the way.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of sums up the Islanders, right? Like, below actual. No, it does, though.
I know.
Below actual 500.
I just like that you're moving on so normally.
Well, I got to do something. I mean, we could just have the same argument for 5 more minutes, but
you know what? Be down.
They're, you know, they're below real 500, but like still right there in the playoff race because that's the NHL and they have a 500 points percentage dealing with a bunch of injuries. But there's a lot of, you know, we talk about like you want to eliminate the pure cardio aspect of your bottom six, right? There's a lot of cardio in the bottom six for the New York Islanders tonight, especially with some of the injuries they're dealing with. So
Pierre Engvall is like an all-time cardio king. But at least he's really big, so it's fun when he does it. I will say, like, at least I'll give him props for that. Yeah, I mean, the Islanders are...
They've been, like, the most boring team in the NHL for a while now.
They are very mid.
They are very, very mid.
Yeah, they are.
They're, like, the definition of it.
They are extremely mid.
So, that's exciting.
It's interesting to me that in terms of their 5-on-5 profile, though, like the Islanders are maybe a little bit better than some of the peripherals look. Like they actually have outscored their opponents at 5-on-5, which is something that I always like to note, especially when a team has this mid profile, because it tells you that while they haven't played well by any means, there's at least a chance that they're going to be an awful lot better over the balance because there's at least a core of steel there. In terms of where the majority of the game is played, they're actually coming out ahead of their opponents. That matches the underlyings. It's not like they've been unlucky or lucky. They kind of are what they are. And what they are is a team that will outscore you 5-on-5 and looks like a team capable of durably doing that over the balance of the season. Their issues have been they have 6 power play goals on the season. That's tied with Utah, St. Louis, Washington, and Anaheim for the worst number of goals for on the power play in the league. And as you'd expect, they're also surrendering a few too many power play goals against. 12 power play goals against so far this season. That's the 9th highest number in the NHL. So that tells you right now that one area of the game that the Canucks have been, well, they've been good on the penalty kill, and their power play results aren't, like, appalling, but they haven't been good on the power play. This is a night where special teams are going to matter a lot. Flat out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, again,
I don't think the Canucks can count on having a huge advantage 5-on-5, even though we know that those Quinn Hughes minutes are going to favor Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, we were calling the Islanders mid, right? Not mid is different than bad. It's not like they're a disaster. They're mid. They do some things well. They do some things not very well, right?
They're NHL bad.
Yeah.
Which isn't really bad.
They're NHL good.
Oh, they're NHL good. No.
I think so.
I actually think they're NHL mid. I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're NHL mid.
I think they're NHL good because it's they're not really good, but
NHL mid is like a very widely encompassing, you know, like just like NHL 500 is this term that catches like how many teams aren't NHL 500?
Yeah, or like within, you know, a few points of it.
Yeah.
You know, from like between 450 and 550 or whatever. It's like a huge chunk of
there's
the league.
There's 5 teams in the East total that aren't NHL 500, and there's 6 in the West. If 11 of 32 teams are 500, like, we have to stop saying it. I'm sorry. We have to. Not just you, but also our listeners. And Rick Dhaliwal. Specifically Rick Dhaliwal.
Specifically Rick Dhaliwal, of course. Some other things that I'm going to be keeping an eye on in this game. One, just do we see more legitimate progress from Elias Pettersson, right? Can he build on a couple of decent efforts in a row? And I thought last game in particular, he was good. Can he not just maintain that? I mean, that's job number one, but can he even continue to build on that and look more like the old Elias Pettersson? You know, the only other time in this season where I felt like we saw real progress was, remember, I think it was the Chicago game where he was like drawing penalties and, you know, passes into the slot and all that. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And then they came home and it was just like nowhere to be seen. It just completely vanished, right? So a couple of good games in a row, that's great, but he has to at least stay at that level and ideally keep the needle going in the right direction for Pettersson tonight against the Islanders. And the other thing that I'm going to be very curious about, and...
Well, and I'm curious to see too, because it was Pettersson... There were some subtle deployment changes, I think, with Lekkerimäki coming in. Like, Pettersson spent more time with Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
In that game on Tuesday, Pettersson was definitely the guy that Backlund played the most against, especially early in the game. So it does look like there have been some small tweaks in terms of how the Canucks are approaching getting Pettersson going. So we'll see if that helps. Like, we'll see if part of why everyone's... I mean, I think the major reason that everyone's reacting is that he scored a tap-in goal and got an assist on a pass back to the point. Now, I'm not meaning to cast aspersions on his performance. He did look better, but I don't know. My standards for what Pettersson... Like, there's a reason that I've been so insistent on this guy's greatness through highs and lows over the last 3 years, right? And it's because when he's killing it, you know, you don't have to talk yourself into it, right? This is like the old prospect thing I talk about, where it's like, when Pettersson is going, you're like, oh, man, you got to see what this guy's doing right now.
So I want to see that.
He wasn't at that level. Like, he wasn't against Calgary, but I do hope that he can continue to, like, have some success.
Can you at least use it as a stepping stone?
For sure.
Right? So it's not just like, oh, that looks good, and then it goes back to the baseline, right? You want to, at the very least, stay at that level or keep getting back to the level that you're talking about, which, of course, is ultimately where he needs to be.
You definitely don't want to be talking yourself into it.
No. And the other thing I'm going to be watching here is Nils Höglander's minutes. And when we hear from Rick Tocchet later on in the show, I think he'll comment on this. But, you know, probably good for Nils Höglander, too, to have Dakota Joshua coming back into the lineup and playing on that line specifically, right, with Atu Ratu on the fourth line. Obviously, it's been a big talking point recently. I know you wrote about it at The Athletic, the way his minutes have declined under 10 minutes last game. Look, the Canucks have a deep forward group right now, and with Dakota Joshua coming back, that's even more true. But Höglander, they're going to have to find a role where he feels good, he's producing, and they trust him, right? Like, he's a very talented player. For them to get to where they want to go this year, like, he's got to play a role in some way. He's got to play a consistent role in some way for them.
Well, I also think he's really good, and they're going to need him to be really good over the balance of this campaign. Not just the offense, but in terms of his potential to drive play and in terms of his ability to win battles and bring energy. You know, one thing I'd note is, as much as I thought the Calgary game didn't go the way his line wanted, you could tell his energy levels were high. He was mixing it up. So I'd like to see more of that, and hopefully he gets rewarded and just gets a little bit of a confidence boost, because I'm sure that's part of this. You know, he only has 2 assists since he got bumped down the lineup. That's tough too. And that wears on a guy, especially as your usage declines, and especially given all the work that it took him to put himself in the position he did through those first 7 games. You know, they talked about his fitness scores. We saw him dominate training camp. We saw him kill it in the preseason. So to have one mistake and then be dropped out, like, that is challenging, I'm sure, mentally. But it did look like he was at least responding with that effort level. You'd like to see that effort level get rewarded with some, like, success tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. To the lineup notes, the Canucks did their morning skate at Rogers Arena this morning, and they also made a couple of roster transactions, recalling Jonathan Lekkomäki and Atu Ratu from Abbotsford. Notably, they did not recall Arshdeep Bains. Of course, all 3 of those players have been sent down yesterday. None of them need waivers, so that's part of the cap space accrual maneuvering that we've seen repeatedly from the Canucks already this season. So Arshdeep Bains stays down, which of course opens up the roster spot to activate Dakota Joshua from injured reserve. I don't believe they've officially done that yet, but that's really just a formality, and that gives them 12 healthy forwards on the roster right now. So the lineup gonna look very similar to what they sent out against Calgary, just with the addition of Dakota Joshua. So it'll be Elias Pettersson with Jake DeBrusk and Connor Garland, JT Miller with Pugh Suter and Lekkomäki. Lekkomäki stays in that spot. The third line of Teddy Bluger, Danton Heinen, and Kiefer Sherwood, and then Atu Ratu with Nils Höglander and Dakota Joshua making his debut. Blue line is the same: Hughes, Hronek, Susi Myers, Brännström, and Desharnais. And the other note from a lineup perspective is Kevin Lankinen starts again in the crease. That'll be 11 of the last 12 games for the Canucks for Kevin Lankinen, as, again, he continues to be the clear-cut number one goalie and get workhorse number one goalie type usage here. We'll see when Thatcher Demko is back, but that seems like it's going to be the case until Thatcher Demko is back for the Canucks.
Yeah. I mean, no shocker here. I would have loved to see, I've said it a lot, I would have loved to see Seelovs get a game this week before the back-to-back. Surely he'll play one of the 2 games this weekend, either against Chicago on Saturday night or against Nashville on Sunday. And even there, I'd rather see him get the tougher start, because if he loses to Chicago, it's like, when's he ever getting back in?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think this club's very likely at some point to need three goaltenders. My view of it anyway is you'd rather have Shelov's. He's eventually going to go down, I think, to the American League at this point. I think he's running out of room, and they seem to be running out of interest in allowing him to sort of state a case to have them stick with plan A, which was three goaltenders on the roster on Demko's return. I think that's out the window, given that it's clear that Shelov's needs reps. Before he, you know, you play him against Chicago, he loses, he goes down to the A and doesn't play an NHL game again until whenever you need him for emergency. And by the time you need him, you really need him. I'd just rather he go down with sort of in his back pocket, like, I'm still this guy.
Yeah.
I'm still the dude.
Send him down with a win if you can get it for him.
Yeah, but also don't engineer it, like, don't put him in a position where a failure would be, like, truly something that saps all confidence in his game.
Yeah.
Which I feel like Chicago, you lose to Chicago. Not that Chicago can't do damage. They absolutely can. But, yeah, tough situation for Shelovs based off of his tough start to the campaign and this club's clear and very much warranted belief in Kevin Lankinen as a number one.
Not a ton to update in the playoff odds and the standings update section here. One thing I'll just note is Colorado wins again last night against the LA Kings. And really, the two theoretical powerhouses in the West that got off to slow starts are really starting to round into form. Edmonton is, you know, back above fake 500 here, 500 points percentage. Colorado, same thing after that win last night. So if you figure that, like, right now the technical wildcard teams are Calgary and Colorado, and then Edmonton is in third
by
points.
What? Oh.
But I think it would also be the same. It'd be the same by points percentage.
Have you made sure?
Yeah, I have. I have. I'm looking at it right now. Calgary has 19 points and 17. Colorado has 18 and 17.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah, you got it.
Edmonton. But you figure that... Yep. Pretty safe odds that Edmonton is going to surpass Calgary. And then, again, as we talked about yesterday, like, would it, at that point, would it shock anyone if those were the eight playoff teams in the Western Conference? Absolutely not. So, again, no. Things really starting to sort themselves out there.
I'm going to leave a light on for Calgary and Utah, but yeah.
Nashville as well is the other one, but.
Right. Yeah. They're not out of runway yet. I'm going to leave the light on for Utah and Calgary. And, you know, I think Colorado and L.A. are going to be in tough. I really do. I know I saw Drouin, for example, get off IR for the Avs, but man, they've been so devastated by injuries that I genuinely... And their depth isn't good to begin with. And Landeskog looks like he's not a cinch to come back and on and on. I mean, their goaltending's been appalling. Like, as great as... Nathan MacKinnon probably carries the Avalanche to the playoffs, but it's a big ask, given the state of theirs, the depth of their roster.
Yep.
Just is.
Betting update for us tonight.
The Canucks are favored at home, unsurprisingly, -190. Islanders +160 on the money line. The over-under is set at 6, with an awful lot more steam on the under. Under is -125. You can get the over at +105. Interesting value because one thing we didn't discuss, Semyon Varlamov
gets
the start for the New York Islanders. So the Canucks are ducking Ilya Sorokin tonight. Nice break given Sorokin's you know, status as truly one of the best goaltenders in hockey. So yeah, kind of like the over actually, +105. Not bad.
All right. Got anything else for us?
That's it.
All right. You're scared off the prop bets.
Oh yeah, no. Once I got down like 20 units, I'm like, there's a reason.
Over.
You know what? I always thought
I
always thought I was hard done by that. I contractually don't bet on hockey. Now I realize it's for your own protection. Yeah, now I realize like hockey's not a bankroll sweller like the WCC or the NFL. I've been saved.
All right, that's the whiteboard for today. Gemma Karsten-Smith from the Canadian Press joins us next here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.